Good morning. Welcome to Seneca Community Church. We're so glad you're here. Boy, I just want to praise God. We had a beautiful wedding yesterday for Stephen and Lauren Achenbach, and everything went so well. And there was they had an outdoor wedding. And you know how much it poured yesterday? There was this window, just enough for everything to dry out and get seats out and everything just before the wedding. So just want to praise God for that and just continue to pray for them and their future together. Let's just begin with prayer and worship. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are here to give you praise and glory. We are here, Heavenly Father, because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Because of the love that you demonstrated for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Father, we know it's only because of him and because of what you've done that we can be here today and stand in your grace. And so we give you the praise and the glory, and we ask you to bless our service in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand and join us. How can I keep from singing your praise?
There's an endless song that echoes in my soul. I hear the music ring, and though storms may come, I am holding on to the rock I cling. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. I will lift my eyes in the darkest night, for I know my Savior lives. And I will walk with you, knowing you'll see me through and sing the songs you give. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart wants to sing. Our Father everlasting, the all-creating One, God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus, our Savior. I believe in God, our Father. I believe in Christ, the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit.
Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord.
I believe.
I believe in you. I believe you rose again. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion and in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection when Jesus comes again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that He will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Beautiful worship. You may be seated. I just want to share a few brief announcements with you today. A reminder today, anyone who is a partner of Seneca Community Church, we have a quick congregational meeting after the service today. We'll give about 10 minutes just for people to greet and fellowship and say goodbye, and then we'll gather back in here to discuss. It's been posted, I think, for 2 weeks, but just a change in our insurance policy that could potentially save us, well, it will save us money if it's passed on a monthly basis, but it puts at risk, I think, $10,000 as far as having a higher deductible where we had no deductible before. Is that correct, Chris? Right. Right. Saving us on our monthly budget. Yes. Okay. Awesome. So please stay for that brief meeting and vote this afternoon. And then a couple other announcements. Things coming up. Back to school outreach is coming fast. I think maybe there's just one more booth that we need someone willing to run. So if you're available and you can come help out at the back to school outreach, we would love to have you. That is just an incredible time to interact with our community, to represent Christ, to love on them, and also for them to see that Seneca Community Church is here and we care. So I would love for everybody to be a part of that. So the back-to-school outreach coming up on the 13th, I think, Wednesday night. And then we've got Promotion Sunday coming up the 24th. Believe it or not, we're only a few weeks away from fall and all our fall ministries kicking off. And we've got some exciting changes to some of our fall ministries this year that we're going to be making. If you have questions, feel free to ask me, but we'll be telling you more about it in the upcoming weeks. So we're excited about that. We're also excited because John Shirley is with us today, and he's going to share from the Word of God, and we're so grateful to see your family again and thankful to be able to support you guys as you serve the Lord, and your ministry is incredible, and so thankful to have you here today to bring the Word for us. Is there any announcement I've missed? Okay, wonderful. Caitlin, would you read that? This is from Psalm 34.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him.
Amen. Bless the Lord at all times. Would you stand and join us? Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. The Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved.
Glory.
Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Most High. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Glory to the name of the Lord. Most High. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they are saved.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like now.
Like never before. strength is failing. The end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name.
Were creation suddenly articulate, with a thousand tongues to lift one cry, then from north to south and east to west, we hear Christ be magnified. Were the whole earth echoing His eminence, His name would burst from sea and sky. From rivers to the mountain tops, we'd hear Christ be magnified. Oh, Christ be magnified, let His praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me. When every creature finds its inmost malady, and every human heart its native cry, oh, then in one enraptured hymn of praise, we'll sing Christ be magnified. Let His praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the author of my life. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified. Let His praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified from the altar of my life. Christ be magnified in me.
Rocks cry out to worship. glory taught the stars to shine. Perhaps creation longs to have the word to sing, but this joy is mine.
With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor, and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more. Who else would die for our redemption? Whose resurrection means I'll rise. There isn't time enough to sing of all you've done, but I have eternity to try. With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor, and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs and a thousand more. Praise to the Lord, to the King of heaven, praise. For he rose, now he reigns. We will sing forever praise to the Lord, to the Lamb, to the King. With a thousand hallelujahs, we magnify your name. You alone deserve the glory, the honor, and the praise. Lord Jesus, this song is forever yours. A thousand hallelujahs, a thousand more.
Brother John, will you come share the word?
Well, good morning, everybody. Pastor John, don't go unarmed. Give you that. Well, it's good to be back with our Seneca Church family, and just a very brief update on our family. By God's grace, Becky and I are busy about 3 out of 4 Sundays a month with our ministry, traveling, presenting our work in different places. And so thank you for supporting that, praying for that, being a part of it. We just got back from, I took a team of 28 people down to the Dominican Republic in June. And that went well. And Lord willing, we're going to get back in 2 weeks with about 15 of us to the DR. And Matt and Doug are a very vital part of that work. So we're thankful that they're going. And so you're going with us, and then in November, again, Lord willing, we'll be back in Nepal. So, and then some of those Sundays, there's 1 out of 4 Sundays we've been worshiping with our son, John Calvin, and his pastoral internship. So he's doing well. We had one get married last week, Hannah and James. All systems are go for him to get married in September, and Sadie's off to college, and so it's kind of a summer of change for us. Thanks for praying. We are going to be turning to God's Word in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 today. So you can listen or follow along, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And for quite a while, as I think through Scripture and pray and read, I've been doing so through the filter of those two commands that Jesus gave, the great commands, to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, all of our mind. And we know the second one is like it, to love our neighbor as much as we love ourselves. And so really, life is about relationships, vertically with God, horizontally with man. And if one is wrong, both are wrong. And so if those are the great commands, don't we think that they should get our greatest attention, our greatest effort, our greatest resources? Lawrence? Thank you, sir. That is a blessing. So, the text that we're going to read, this is Paul's second inspired letter to this church in the city of Corinth. And it's in context of his ministry of loving God, loving others. And he's talking to this church about some areas where they're struggling doing that. He's talking about how he's doing that. And so some of it is autobiographical, and he's encouraging them to love God and love others. We don't see those words there, but we see that in the context and the point of what he's doing. So in the context of loving God and loving others, we have this description of what it means to be a Jesus follower. Jesus said it's going to be narrow. It's going to be difficult. There'll be few who are on it. Those who are born again following Christ. Jesus also said that if anyone wants to be his disciple, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow him. So the Jesus follower has a difficult time, a wonderfully difficult time. So I'm going to be in chapter 4, but I want to read to you. You can listen or follow along, but I'm going to read some of the introduction of this letter to the 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Listen to what Paul is talking about. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So you see this vertical, horizontal thing starting to work out? The God of comfort is comforting us, so we can comfort others. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, think of that word abound, it's like much. The sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation, and our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the suffering, so also you will partake of the consolation. Paul has this understanding that as he is walking this narrow, difficult, self-denying, Christ, cross-bearing life, he's doing it for the glory of God and the benefit of others. Let's pray. Father, you've left us here after saving us. Sometimes it's hard. Most of the time it's hard. It, in one sense, should always be hard, because we are living in a world that is your enemy, and your enemy is our mission field. And so we don't begin to understand all that that means. It's beyond our ability, but we do know that's true. And so as Paul was loving these people and loving you, it caused great suffering in his life. His choices led to suffering. Jesus' choices led to suffering. And as we think about the things He said to this church, inspired by His Spirit, help us to understand that, not to be overwhelmed, but actually encouraged and equipped because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. So turn with me over to chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to look at all 18 verses, and that's a lot to consider. So I want to encourage you to come back and read this book, read this chapter. We know that the greatest treasures are found in the deepest waters, and we're all going to get wet, but we'll stay on the surface a little bit because I want to think about all of the thoughts that Paul had here. And sometimes that's a good thing, because to go over a larger section, because that's the way it's written, and that's the way we read it, so we can think through these things as one big thought. But it starts with the word therefore. Chapter 4 starts with therefore. And that's, we've already read through three chapters by the time you get to chapter 40. Here in this context, that word therefore is referring to our salvation, to the work that God has done in us, and the ministry He's given us. Therefore, we read this. So I'm going to read all 18 verses, and then we're going to look at 10 specific reasons why we are not going to lose heart. That's the point of this passage here. Paul mentions it twice. We don't lose heart, even though all of these things are happening. And so let's read chapter 4, 1 through 18. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So let me give you 10 things from this text that prevent you from losing heart, that will prevent me from losing heart. And when we say losing heart here, the idea of this word is to not give in to fear. To not lose courage. To not be a coward. In this process of denying self, taking the cross, walking the narrow road, suffering for Christ's sake, suffering for others' sake, there are times when that's going to lead to fear or a lack of courage or the temptation to be a coward. That's what this is all about. When Paul wrote this, his life was in danger, had been in danger many times because of his choices to follow Jesus. And so the context here ultimately is about the choices that we make to follow Jesus are going to lead to relational difficulties. He's not so much talking about circumstances like, I lost my job, I have cancer, there's a bad report. Although we know those are all part of God's plan as well. In this context, he's talking about the choices we make relationally to be on mission, loving God and loving others, are going to lead to a difficult life where we're tempted to lose heart, to be fearful, to lack courage, or to be a coward. And so he gives us these 10 things and a little bonus at the end that will prevent that from happening. So let's just walk through the text. The first one, number one, is we turn from the world's promises and hopes to Christ. And we see here in verse 2, we have this ministry in verse 1. We've received mercy, we don't lose heart, and we've renounced the hidden things of shame. We're not walking in craftiness nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. Repentance. And I think specifically in Paul, he's referring maybe to some false teachers who have accused him of being a false teacher, actually. We've turned from what the world has to offer. Shameful things, crafty things, all of the things that those who are on the broad road, those who don't deny themselves, those who aren't loving God and others, all of the treasures that they have, we renounce and turn from. If you don't want to lose heart, you have to turn from this world. Secondly, if you don't want to lose heart, you don't want to be fearful or discouraged, it's about what we're thinking about and what we're reminded of. Lately, in our home, some of our children have been dealing with some bad thoughts. And that's what they say. We're having bad thoughts. And some of those bad thoughts are leading to bad choices. So we've been talking about our thoughts. Our mind is like a TV. Way back in the day, when I was a kid, we actually had to get out of the chair, walk all the way over to the TV, and turn the channel. Then maybe when I was about 10, we had this box with a long cord going to, we could just push the buttons. Now, it's this. But that's where our thoughts are. We have to choose what the channel is going to be. And so look what Paul is saying, kind of in a negative way, about what God has done for us. So we remember what God has done for us in verses 3 and 4. Look how he describes those who are not following Christ. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, but not to us. Not to us. Verse 4, these people's minds, the God of this age has blinded. They don't stand a chance. Satan is far more powerful than anybody in this room or anybody on this planet. And he has veiled eyes. So they're lost in their own sinfulness, or we are before Christ. Then our enemy has blinded us. Do we remember that God has taken the blinds? He's removed them. Remember who we are? The light of the gospel of the glory of Christ has shone upon us, not the lost. You don't want to lose heart. Remember that you have been rescued from the kingdom of darkness and transformed into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That will give you courage. That will keep you from losing heart. So we turn from the world's hopes. We remember that our eyes have been opened. God has revealed the truth. We have been called into the kingdom of the Son of His love. These are things that we do to keep from losing heart, according to this text. This next one, I think, is really critical. Look in verses 5 and 6. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There's a lot there to unpack, but let me distill it down to this. It's not about you. It's not about me. Once I make relationships about me, I'm going to get discouraged. You see, we think we own everything in our lives, right? Sometimes, that's my money, that's my car. No, wait a minute, that's God's money, that's God's car. My children actually belong to God. Well, we think about that, but do we think about our relationships belonging to God? My marriage, with my spouse, with my children, with my boss, with my enemies, with my president, with my governor, with my co-workers. Those are relationships in my life that I may have an agenda for. I've got an agenda for my marriage. Guess what? My spouse is no longer meeting that agenda. Let's get a new spouse. My boss is no longer meeting the relationship. Let's get a new boss. Let's get a new friend. Let's get a new neighbor. Let's get a new president. Whatever it is. But when I see when God owns that relationship, now all I have to do is be a part of His agenda for it. And that's what Paul is saying here. We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your slave, bondservant, for Jesus' sake. I am here on this planet to love you. That's why I exist, as an expression of my love for God. That's what Paul is saying here. Why is he getting tortured? Because of his choice to love. Love enemies whose eyes are blinded by the God of this age. And so you don't want to lose heart. Remember, it's not about you. And in verse 6, it is the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light that's shown in me, the same God who said, let there be light. Now spiritual light's coming to me. I'm part of this gospel message to let that light shine in others. That's what's going to keep me from losing heart. Because I remember, it's not about me. It's about God. Now we get to this next section. And it's hard because we realize that when we follow Christ, we give up all hope of comfort. Jesus said, I don't even have a bed. I don't even have a place to lay my head. You sure you want to follow me? Next time you tell somebody about Jesus and you want them to go to heaven, you want to give them the gospel, turn to this text. Are you ready for some perplexity? Are you ready for some crushing? Pray this prayer, right? It's wonderfully and horribly true. Paul is not ashamed of the gospel. This is the result of following Jesus correctly. Denying himself, taking up a cross, following him. That cross means suffering for his sake. So he says this in verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. What treasure? Well, if you were to turn over just to the next page, we see this gift. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. I think that's part of the gift, our salvation, the gospel truth, this ministry. And you go back to the very beginning of this text, in chapter 4, verse 1. Since we have this ministry, that's the gospel, the treasure is not us. And sometimes I've been fearfully and wonderfully made. Absolutely. That's not describing the product. That's describing the process. Okay? We're not fearful and wonderful. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Those are describing the processes. We are jars of clay. Now, when somebody looks at the human body and the creation, yes, praise God for all of that. But John, the person, this jar of clay is the same word used for carrying out a vessel that carries out the human waste or the garbage. It's a disposable piece of, it's not even Tupperware. It's like, you know, you get the lunch meat, and how many of you had the little lunch meat containers now with leftovers in it, right? And you're free, me, we've got those, and valueless, but they serve a purpose. That's us. We have this treasure in jars that are fragile and broken, because when someone looks, what is going on in that man's life, or that woman's life, or that child's life? I see the power of God transforming him. I know who he is. He's a jar of clay. What is going on? Now they see, you see. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Why? That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We need to understand very clearly who we are. And look what God has done in us. So here we have understanding who you are and how God uses our suffering. That's number four. Keeping yourselves from being discouraged, fearful, a lack of courage, or a coward. Understand who you are, and the suffering that you are experiencing is actually part of the plan. It's not like, oh, wow, I'm suffering. No, that's the plan, to suffer. The jar of clay is going to expose the power. So Paul says this, we are hard-pressed some of the time, occasionally. One area, no, on all sides, on every side, we're hard-pressed because of the choices he's making to tell people about Jesus. When we get down to it and we start helping people see that there's a holy God that they have sinned against, they don't like it. You didn't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it when somebody tells me I'm sinning. And I'm, you know, supposed to be a Jesus follower. Hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. That's the power of God. Everywhere, how can you not be? You're experiencing all that, Paul? How can you not be crushed? Because I haven't lost heart. Because I understand Paul's thinking that is part of the plan. I'm hard pressed on every side because I love you. That's my demonstration of loving God. We're perplexed. The lack of ability to grasp it. It's like me in algebra. What? Where's the calculator? I need that. I get perplexed. I can't grasp it. I can't figure out why is this happening. I'm just trying to tell them about Jesus. I just want them to go to heaven. Don't they know I love them? I'm even giving them a sandwich before. You know, I'm trying to meet their physical needs so I can meet their spiritual needs and be part of what you're going to meet. Why is this happening? Well, let's think about Jesus and what he experienced. Never hurt anybody. Did nothing but love people. Healed them. Spoke truth to them. Fed them. They hated him. And killed him. A servant's not greater than his master, right? Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. It is perplexing. But by faith, we could be like Paul, not in despair. We're persecuted, verse 9 says. But Jesus said, I will be with you always, even till the end of the age. The Spirit of God is actually indwelling us. So when we are persecuted, we're not forsaken. We're not left on our own. I hope you make it to heaven. No, that's not Jesus' approach. I'm with you. Actually, I was persecuted first. You're persecuted for me. Paul said he was filling up the sufferings of Christ in his own body for the sake of others. Thinking about it like that will keep us from losing heart. struck down, but not destroyed. What can man do to me? Paul said, well, actually, man can kill him, and man did. But from the eternal perspective, man can do nothing to us, because this is just a jar of clay. And if you were to look down in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, he's talking about, when I get rid of this, I'm getting a brand new body, new tent. I can't wait to get there. So he didn't lose heart, because he understood, even if he was hard-pressed, not crushed, even when he's perplexed, he doesn't have to despair. Even when he's persecuted, for Christ's sake, for their sake, he's not forsaken. He's struck down but not destroyed. I'm looking at verse 10. There's this paradox here. And this is number 5, understanding the paradox of life and death. How do I keep from being in despair? Understand the paradox of life and death. Scriptures are full of paradoxes, things that seem to be opposite, but they're both true. Life and death. Death is the result of the fall. It's part of the curse, but God uses death to bring life. Understand that. So we see this, verse 10. Always, not occasionally, not just in the really dark times, not when it gets really, not when I just go to like some closed country in Africa or in the Middle East, like go to Pakistan. No, it's now. Always. Caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. There's this thing about our death. Death to self. I have to die. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. In Romans 6, it talks about we've been buried with Christ, so we can be raised with Christ again. There's this sense that we've already been dead. God uses death. Also, Paul's talking about sometimes our physical death advances the gospel. The death of self, physically, intentionally, is always about loving God and loving others. And when I realize that, I'm not going to lose heart. One time Paul was suffering greatly. He asked God to remove it. We read about it in this book, in chapter 12, 2 Corinthians 12. This thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan that came to buffet him to help him be more like Jesus. Paul said, Lord, take it away from me. But Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength, Jesus said, is made perfect in weakness. You want more strength? Get weaker. What? That's a paradox. Weaker in self, stronger in Christ. So Paul got that. So here's his response. No, I'm not removing this suffering from you, Paul. Great, he said. I'll take pleasure then in boasting in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Infirmities? That brings me pleasure. What, Paul? Let's see, he's dead to self. In reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. The less of Paul there is, the more of Jesus there is. He got it. Not sinlessly, but he got it. Always, always, always. Then number 6, how do you not lose heart? Live your faith through mission, relationally. Live your faith missionally. Look at verse 12. So then death is working in us, but life in you. If Paul was about the great commands of loving God, loving others, letting Jesus own his relationships, all of these things are happening to him because he's choosing to love others. That kept him from becoming discouraged and losing heart. He lived his life missionally about his relationships. Number 7. How not to lose heart? Here's the 7th thing. Live life like you've already been resurrected. Live your life now like you've already been resurrected. Look at verse 12. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore spoke. knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us to you. I know I'm going to be raised up with Jesus. Colossians 3, Paul says this, if then you were raised with Christ, he's talking about past tense, have you been raised with Christ? If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Paul functionally lived like he'd already been resurrected. He knew it was going to happen. It's like knowing the outcome of the game before the game ever starts. And you celebrate the victory even before the game begins. Live life like you've already been resurrected. Number 8, there's a reminder here. God uses trials to produce saving grace in others to the glory of God. He reminds us, think again. Don't forget that our trials are producing saving grace in others to God's glory. Verse 15. For all things are for your sake. What things? The things leading to perplexity or misunderstanding. The things that are leading to me being hard-pressed. The things that are leading to me being persecuted. The things that are leading to me being struck down. Those things are trials used to bring others to Christ. Number 9, everything on the outside is used to strengthen the inside. Everything on the outside is used to strengthen the inside. All things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Verse 16, again, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. That's number 9. Everything on the outside is used to strengthen the inside. The outward man is perishing. This body is collapsing. Our choices may lead to death. But what's happening on the inward part? It's being renewed every day. Every day, even when always to death, always being perplexed, or always being crushed but not perplexed, more like Christ, more faithful, more effective, as our body fades, the weaker I become, the more cracks in the jar, the more glory of Christ is seen in me because I become more like Christ. Number 10. Afflictions here are light and temporary. Afflictions here are light and temporary. And they're actually being used by God to make heaven more glorious. The things we suffer now make heaven sweeter. Not just because of the relief, but because of our understanding of who God is and what He's done. And our love for Him, demonstrated by our love for others, brings Him glory. Now, I want to pause for just a second here. We're in verse 17, by the way, of 2 Corinthians 4. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, this is called perspective. If you were to turn over to chapter 11, of this book in the same context. You also see some in chapter 6. Allow me to read this. These things that Paul is calling momentary light afflictions, these are the results of the choices he's making, okay? The choices he's making to tell people about Jesus and live like it's true have led to this list of things happening. In labors, more abundant. He's working hard. That word labor means hard work for the gospel's sake, for people's sake. Am I willing to work hard for people to be more like Jesus and to hear the gospel? And labor more abundant and stripes above measure. I can't count how many times I've been beaten. in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received the official judgment of 40 stripes minus one. 5 times, that means he was tied up, hands put on the pole, and beaten with lashes. If it were me, after the first time, I think, you know what? I'll just leave a track on the toilet. I'll just pray for them. Don't we usually look for the easiest way? Nope. Okay, I'll say it again. Oh, put your hands back up, Paul. Okay, I'll say it again. Put your hands back up, Paul. I'll say it again. Put your hands back up, Paul. He loved them that much. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, throwing rocks at him in order to end his life. 3 times I was shipwrecked, trying to get somewhere to tell somebody about Jesus, and the ship crashes. No life jackets, no lifeboats, no Coast Guard. A night and a day I have been in the deep. That means floating in the ocean all day, all night. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst. His choice to love others and love God caused his body to actually not get enough food and water. In fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Momentary light afflictions. Okay. Give me 39 more. It's momentary. It's light. Shipwrecked again, momentary and light. Beat me with rods again, momentary and light. I'll keep telling them about Jesus. I'll keep living like it's true. This is how he kept from being downhearted, to have the courage to not be a coward, to not lose heart. The perspective of it, that it was momentary and light. For me to live as Christ, to die as gain, he said to the church in Philippi. So number 10, afflictions here are light and temporary, and are actually being used to make heaven more glorious. And then we get this final reminder in verse 18. Call it number 11 if you want, or 10b, our conclusion. 2 Corinthians 14, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. A final reminder about our eyes, about what we look at. Really, it's a parallel to our treasures. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, Jesus said, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. You see, the things, the treasures that I can see, experience, taste, all the stuff that's here now will all go away. Man, time, circumstances, thieves, rust, all of those things will affect it. But my treasures in heaven are not affected by any of that. Where my treasure is, there my heart is also. You see, if my heart is in heaven, I'm going to be looking at the things which I can't see. If my treasures are here, I'm going to be looking at the things I can see. If you're losing heart all the time, check your treasure chest. I'm fearful of losing what's important to me by telling somebody about Jesus. I'm fearful of suffering because my well-being, my personal possessions, my personal health, my personal comfort is at risk. I might lose that. I'm fearful. I am a coward. I have no courage. Wait a minute. Let me look at the treasures I've been laying up in heaven. Okay, now I can risk those things. Now I can lose those things. You see, if my treasures are here on earth, I am getting closer and closer to losing them. But if my treasures are in heaven, I'm getting closer and closer to gaining them. It's all about perspective and how I look at things. So we had a wedding in our family a couple weeks ago. Actually, well, 1 week ago today. My daughter Hannah got married. And for the past couple of months, like 2 months ago, we were talking a lot about the wedding, right? 2 weeks ago, we weren't talking about anything but the wedding. But 2 days before the wedding, it's like, that's all that ever existed, wedding. Nothing else mattered but wedding. All the things that have to happen. The closer and closer I got to it, the more it consumed us. That's the way this is supposed to be. The closer and closer I get to eternity, I should be over. All I can see now is my life hidden in Christ. This other stuff, it's momentary, it's light. It doesn't matter that I'm hard pressed on every side relationally. It doesn't matter anymore that I'm persecuted or struck down relationally. I'm not looking at that. It's the stuff I can see. Let me look at the things that I can't see. And I'll never lose heart again. Let's pray. Father, you know our jars of clay. And all the things we just talked about are true. And yet, we will still lose heart because we're not with you yet. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, for the restoration that comes when we love things of this world more. God, help the trajectory of our life to be more and more like Christ. That we'd love you and others more. It would be displayed in our choices to suffer. Maybe it's just suffering by having a right response and being quiet, not having to win or be right. Maybe it's suffering because we're willing to risk the relationship to love the person in that relationship. Whatever it is, Lord, we know if it's not costing us anything, it really has no value. Thank you, God, for the great privilege of being dead to all of our treasures here and to be alive to all of our treasures there because you died and rose again for us. Help us never to lose heart. Help us to do it by dwelling upon the truths of this passage for your glory, for others' sake. In Jesus' name, amen.